This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. This episode is an excerpt from my public access TV show, Talk with TQ. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. We are here on stage at Studio Theater in Exile at Hudson Valley Mocha. Hudson Valley Mocha is dedicated to showcasing exceptional contemporary artists and artwork. Studio Theater in Exile works with playwrights and theater artists to create and present new and original work. Studio Theater in Exile and Hudson Valley Mocha have collaborated on exciting projects since 2005. Tonight our guest is Eunice Figueiredo, and she is an architect, an artist, and an author, and an illustrator, and we are so pleased to have her here tonight. She came from Israel all the way to Peekskill, New York, to be on the show and tell us all about herself. And I am thrilled and honored to have her here. Welcome, Eunice. You made it.
Yeah.
So here you are again, and you know, we have so many things to talk about. You know, I read a lot about you, and I know you from, I guess, 2015, when you were exhibiting in New York City,
right.
Your artwork. It was a big painting that you did, and I think that it was reflective of a lot of things that you do as an illustrator, and oddly, or maybe not so oddly, as an architect. Talk to me a bit about that particular piece and that experience.
I think... You are talking about this big painting?
Yes.
With lots of personnages?
Yes.
Yes, they are a painting from a typical Brazilian festivity, and it marks the beginning of the living together of Catholics and the Nigerian Yoruba celebration.
Celebration, yeah.
So this is once a year they come, the Baianas, you know, the women live dressed in white, and they come to wash the floors of the church. And it's a very, very happy, you know, and everybody comes and there is music.
And yeah. A lot of celebration.
Yeah.
The piece, as I recall, had a very strong spiritual component to it.
Yeah.
And then going forward, when I looked at a short film that was done, that you participated in, I think yours was a segment of the film, and you were talking about actually a piece of old architecture. I'm wondering, when I was watching that, I was wondering if there was a connection, because there were nuns in that film. And I saw a picture of you with the nuns. I said, wow, that's...
Well, it's part of my life.
Yes. I mean, you're not quite a nun, as we know.
Not really.
Not really, yes. But tell me about that and the connection with architecture, because you're an architect, and I read something and saw something that you actually spoke of with regard to the fact that your father realized that that was your forte. Or was it you that realized that that was your forte?
Yeah. Well, my father was an engineer and also a professor in the faculty. He knew from the very beginning to know, to see the talents. And when I was about 6 or 7, he told me that you are very talented for drawings and for organizing. You'll be an architect.
Wow. He made the declaration. So do you think he made the right decision about you? Because I know you do a lot of things.
I think so, yes. I think so. It is a kind of a reading, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like a reading, like we were talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, he read his own daughter.
Yes.
Which I think seems sort of apropos.
And then you become so much that everything is that. You see what I mean? Everything that I do is connected to this planning and... organizing and, you know, see. I can see first everything in my head because I'm working on it, and then it's ready, you know?
Yeah, and it's actually almost like a magic to me. No, art is magic to me when it comes from the head, goes to the hands, goes to the heart, goes to the hands,
yeah,
or the mouth, and just comes out. And you do so many things. You've recently, I guess fairly recently, you illustrated your own book for children. Tell something about that book, because the book is, in the title, there is reference to building.
Well, yeah, I had been drawing. That's not my first book. I didn't write it either. But also I have written before another book that I'm now working for publication on the very first book.
The books that I've seen that you've written and illustrated quite magnificently, I'll have to add, tend to be for children, but yet it sort of speaks to an adult mind.
Yeah, yes, because I think just the contrary, children have an adult mind in the sense that I don't think that there is a childish way to communicate with children. Should be all the same, you know?
So it sounds like perhaps your parents communicated to you that way.
Maybe. I don't remember exactly, but probably, yes.
And now, in the film, I saw that you were talking about a building. I have to add something. I just want to backtrack on myself a little bit. I just want to clarify something to the audience, is that you live in Israel right now, but you're in fact really Brazilian.
Yeah.
And your first language is Portuguese.
Right.
Right. And so, and then you speak Hebrew. I heard you speaking it to the director of MoCA here, to Livia. You just sort of broke into it. I was like, wow, look at that. And that, I'm always impressed with people that can speak a lot of languages, and I'm always impressed by how people don't get confused about what language they're speaking at the moment. I just have to say,
the tendency is sometimes it's like a salad, you know? Mm-hmm. You put many ingredients in a salad just like that, because there are words in a particular language, not words, ideas, that they'll have 10, 20 words for this idea. In the other language, you have one, and sometimes none. So you have to take from other language, and you know.
Yes, yes.
It goes spontaneously.
Yeah, we've learned sometimes.
It's inevitable.
It is inevitable. and I think that there are many of us have learned over our life that there are certain words that can only be communicated, certain ideas that can only be communicated in a specific language.
Yeah, because they have developed. You know, for instance, I give an example or two in Italian. You have some 12 or more to express a piazza, a largo, a larghetto, and so on. And in other languages, you have one word. Or even not, you take from the Italian and you employ it, you see?
Yes.
Like that.
Yes. It's always been interesting spending time with you, especially this afternoon, spending time with you and your husband and your daughter. It was really thrilling for me to hear you all speaking like three languages to each other. I'm impressed.
Really?
And somehow you find yourself jumping into that to some extent, but not jumping into it too far.
Oh.
You know, only because, you know,
yeah,
there's this thing called fluency. Anyway, you know something about that. Yes, you do. But okay, talking about your architecture, tell me a little bit about some of the projects that you've worked on over the years between Brazil and Israel and other places in the world.
You're talking about the projects in different
in
places?
Yeah, in architecture and art.
We have done projects in some places. We have done the most exotic is a project in India. No, two projects in India we did. Mm-hmm. One was an institute for high studies in meditation and this and that. And the other was an ashram.
An ashram?
Ashram is like a kibbutz, you know? Oh. Here again, a Hebrew name for, you know, kibbutz, for a collective, a community. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with all kinds of methods and disciplines of studying, etc.
It's very impressive. You know, because you seem like such a normal-looking woman, but yet I have seen a picture or two over the years, you know, of you on a site, which is always impressive. It gives you a different perspective of that person. And this, and then on the flip side of that, you've developed illustration for these very intricate and mindful and sensitive children's books. You really, how do you make that switch? And everything seems like an expertise to you. For me, from looking from the outside, everything seems like you have an expertise in these things.
Well, I think it comes from the basis, from architecture, from this, it's a discipline. When you have a topic, you have a theme, you just start to think about that and let it go, let it flow, how, you know, to draw, I know to draw. So it comes naturally, the story and the everything.
It seems like it's a gift you have to be able to switch gears like that.
Yeah.
Not everybody's good at that. As a matter of fact, most people are not.
Yes.
But you remain somewhat like humble and grounded by that. But it seems to me from reading about what you, how you got to this point right now, that it seems that all roads lead back to your parents, very much so. And even your mother, who encouraged you to do whatever you want. You know that you have children of your own and grandchildren.
Yes.
You know, I can imagine the relationship is very special. As you watch them grow and develop, have you seen any traits in them?
You mean DNA
kind? Yes, something like that, yes.
Well, you know, I believe more in imitation. That's not my words, but there is this Dr. Chopra, maybe you know?
Yes.
He says that.
Deepak.
Yes,
Deepak Chopra. You met him?
Yes. He says that almost everything in the human body and mind is imitation. You imitate your parents without, you know? And how do you resemble to your brothers or parents or dog?
Or dog. Yeah.
Because we imitate the movements of the muscles in the face, let's say, how we smile, how we, you know?
Yeah.
And you start to do the same. Not consciously, but, you know, just...
I'm thinking about little babies that I've been exposed to from time to time. And you tend to want to, like, look at their face and make a face. And
right?
What's the first
yes.
face is a smile, you know?
And how you smile, how your look, you know, how everything goes. And if you love this person or you feel that, you know, that's the source, so you imitate naturally.
Yeah, I do know that children are the best imitators.
Yeah.
You know, just from teaching English to children of foreign languages, it's amazing that you give them one lesson and everything in that lesson they say back to you in your exact accent. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
But you teach their parents and it's like the tongue is so wooden. It's like, just move it a little bit and you'll get it, you know. But it's interesting. I think what you're saying about imitation
is
very
true. Fresh. I think they have to be also... You know?
Fresh and flexible.
Yeah, in the beginning. I mean, when you don't have all these strata, you know.
This is very true. Now, let me just talk about this short film that I saw most recently that you did. And I think it seems that you actually, the narration was done actually from your home in Israel. And it was filmed by a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Whose first name is Dan.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Ratzbi,
yes. Wonderful.
Or little Ratzabi.
It's a beautiful film, and I was very impressed with it because part of the B-roll footage in that, and you were talking about an old church in Israel. It's called the...
Abu Ghosh,
yes.
Yeah. Abu Ghosh is the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Benedictine monastery.
Oh, it's a monastery. Okay.
French, yes.
In Israel.
Yes.
And you were involved in the restoration of something there.
Our office,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Well, actually, it is a mixed monastery, I mean, brothers and sisters. And in this place, that is a French site, they had already this church. And then you had another building from the 19th century just on the side of it that was built in order to retain the church, you know, like just
what we were talking
about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in this building, here comes these Benedictines on, I don't remember the brothers, some 40 years ago or 30 years ago. And then in the 70s.
The 1970s.
Yes. The sister was supposed to come. They came, but there was no place, no building. So we started to build. We restored a little stable, first point. Mm-hmm. And then that's a very interesting project because it has been done during 40 years. You had a courtyard, a claustrum, and then another claustrum, and then another an atelier, a workshop, and then a little hostel, and then, you know, and it's a never-ending story.
Yeah, and so how many years did it take to do the complete restoration? Because
I don't know, it's not finished.
Oh, it's still not finished.
Who knows?
Oh, okay.
And lately... And then we developed a very familiar relationship.
The nuns?
And
the sisters.
Everybody.
Okay. I enjoyed seeing
but
you with the nuns.
Mainly the nuns, of course. We worked together. So lately, and they are really open-minded and really. And especially I have a special friend there. And I had this idea to paint a series on the life of Jesus.
Okay.
But I didn't want to do something, I wanted to do something different, something more personal or more hidden knowledge, things like that.
Yeah.
One thing I knew that I wanted to make it universal, not one, you know, and to convey that message. So I called that L'âme du monde.
L'âme du monde.
The soul of the world. It's something like in astronomy and with the stars and things and the Halley Comet and etc. in the beginning. But after that message that he got, Jesus, in all kinds of languages, you know, the Holy Spirit, he got that message in the baptism. When you translate it, I mean, from the origin, from Hebrew, Ruach HaKadosh, that's exactly Holy Spirit, you know?
Oh, that's the translation that's for the word.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah. And all kinds of things like that. I was having a series of talks with a sister, this special sister there, Serenias. And every time I would come with more information and about things, and it was really very interesting.
Did the sister help you fill in some of the blanks? Because from her perspective.
No.
No, she did not.
I didn't think of it.
You didn't think
next
of it.
Next time.
Yeah, but it must have been something special about painting, probably to most people, the most iconic figure that ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah, but this figure, we don't see his figure.
Yeah, that's right. Interesting.
No, in the series.
But the monastery was in Emmaus,
yeah,
which they say is the city?
The place?
The place where Jesus appeared at the resurrection.
Yes.
This is what is told.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a small place, and you know what you are saying, 8,000 years, is the age of the place itself that has been always, always inhabited, kind of, you know? So this Emmaus probably was a small village around water, and that's why, because there was a water source.
Oh, okay.
That's a legend. Tradition right. tells that he appeared there to his disciples.
After the resurrection.
Yeah.
So you've actually been there. And what is it like living in Jerusalem, you know, living in, you know, do you always feel like kind of holy, you know? Do you really? I'm curious because it's on my bucket list.
Well,
in many people.
It is. I think mainly the holiness of this place are in the stones. Yes, sometimes you can really read that. Mm-hmm. And then it leads me to another series of painting that I did on the stone, because we have been working mainly in restoration and preservation of monuments and cities, and so we're talking with stone always.
So perhaps this is something that's something that architects understand. Perhaps.
I don't think all of them, you know, you have to have this practice.
How did they find you to work on the restoration?
Well, it's a simple story. Mm-hmm. There are many signs. One of them is that we started to restore some church in the old city, and then the entrepreneur, Tony.
The other Tony.
Okay, so we had a very good relationship with him. Then the Abu Ghosh community asked him if they don't know architects or something. And it was through this Tony that it came to. At the same time, there were also other projects. We are working also in the old city.
It's interesting
to me. In the
old
cities, everything is, you know, stones and age.
It's interesting to me that you do all of these different things. And in looking at that, the last little film that I saw of you in your home, which is so beautiful, did you actually design that? Were you the architect for the home that you live in now in Israel?
Yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful, you know, and you're standing on the balcony. It's a beautiful little film. And I'm just going to share with the audience that, because we've been in touch over the years, you know. And you said to me that there was a painting. You said that every time you look at this painting that's in your house, you described it. She said, you think of me. And I'm like,
stunning.
Yeah, like as if someone had painted a portrait. And then you have that. It's very big.
It's big. It's big. Yeah.
Yeah. Where did you get that painting? It looks like a relative.
It comes from Brazil. Yeah.
Okay.
They were at my parents, mm-hmm. you know, when they passed away and so and so. I took this painting. Because, yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, your life, yes. I have to say, you know, and you just seem so casual about it, you know? And I'm like, wow, you're like a rock star to me in the art field, you know? But you're just like, whatever. But, you know, I think that there's a humility that goes along with people that are quietly successful, which I call my new term, the unintentional educators. You're one of them. I have a lot of them. We all have them. You know, I should probably copyright that term, but you're like an unintentional educator, but you're very spontaneous. And I'm wondering, as relaxed as you feel, like, do you have a next project? I know you do a lot of writing.
Yes, I'm writing now and painting, of course. Mm-hmm. I'll do another exhibition. Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah. I'll have to travel a bit, yeah. You know? So just tell how someone, if they want to see what some of your work, I know you're on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get. I mean, not everybody's on Wikipedia. You have to really be some, which means that there are a lot of things that have been written about you.
Yeah.
And how does someone see your work? Do you have a collection anywhere that someone, or in anybody else's collection, that someone can sort of roam around on the internet and find and take a look?
Not really, but now I am starting to direct my mind on that. I have many, many pieces, many works in different places, but not really like a collection of some.
It's coming.
Yes, I want to focus on that now.
Well, I really want to come and visit you in
come,
Israel.
Please.
I will. It's a promise, you know. It's just like one of those things on my bucket list. It's one of the things I'll probably satisfy first. So, when will we get to see you in the United States again, or will our next interview be a Zoom interview? It might be a Zoom interview, the
it
next
can be.
One.
It can be.
Yeah, because we
now
need,
I am prepared.
Now you're prepared, and we need to talk more. And, you know, I have to say, I'm really pleased to be the person to bring you to Peekskill and to the MoCA. I'm pleased to
definitely.
Be that person to bring you to the Studio Theater in Exile. Which and the Hudson Valley MoCA, I'm glad to be that person to bring you here.
Thank Thank you. Because
the Studio Theater in Exile is very dear to me, as you are. You just add a lot of sparkle to this town just by being here, you know? And so you must come back, and we'll do another interview. I wish you could stay for a month.
Yeah, next time I would like to speak about Yoruba.
Aruba?
Yoruba.
Yoruba. Oh, okay.
That's our common link.
Oh, right. That's true. In Nigeria. Yes, we are sisters from another mister, but we're sisters in some way. It's funny to find out who we're related to. It's interesting.
We never talked about that.
We never did.
It came out today.
It came out today, but it was an instant recognition. And I'm really glad you came. I told you
Me
it would
too.
Be an easy conversation. You did very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The honor is all mine. And I'll say thank you, audience. I really appreciate it when you stop by to see the show. And I promise the next interview will again be one of the most interesting people I can find on the planet. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.